8:55 p.m. Eastern Daylight Saving Time. The Columbia Broadcasting System and its affiliated stations bring you the nightly broadcast of Elmer Davis and the news.
Dispatches from Berlin tonight claim that the Germans have taken Donbass and are driving on toward the Allied base at Andelsnest, with the Air Force blasting away the opposition in front of them. This is not official. The German army communique merely says that the British forces near Donbass have been almost completely isolated and cut off from reinforcements and supplies, which implies that the Germans have cut in behind them and hold at least part of the railroad toward Andelsnest. From the British side, we hear only that their troops in the Donbass area fell back to prepared positions, but reports in Stockholm say the Germans are steadily advancing. Apparently, their forces have concentrated now in the Gudbrands Valley and around Donbass. For semi-official Norwegian reports made public in Sweden say that a small force of Norwegians, aided by Swedish volunteers, captured Rorus in the Oster Valley by a surprise attack at dawn and drove the German garrison some 25 miles down the valley. If this is correct, it seems to imply that the Germans no longer feel it necessary to keep much of a force in the Oster Valley when they are able to control the Gudbrands Valley with its double-track railroad farther west. The Germans claim they have taken 5,000 prisoners, of whom about three-quarters fell into their hands when a Norwegian division, evidently far below normal strength, was forced to surrender. Meanwhile, each side is making desperate efforts to stop the inflow of the other's reinforcements. In spite of the arrival of considerable quantities of anti-aircraft artillery at Namsos, to which neutral correspondents have testified, the Germans claim that in their raids yesterday they sank a cruiser, a destroyer, and five transports and damaged five more. This would be about two dozen transports put out of action in the last three or four days. But neutral reporters at Namsos say that only a gunboat and a destroyer were sunk. Censorship might have prevented them from mentioning damage to transports, but their stories of the large forces now arriving there sound as if the German claims were very much overdrawn. From Sweden comes the report of another British attack on German transports and supply ships at Marstrand, north of Göteborg, where 3 weeks ago British submarines made their first and most successful attack on a convoy. This time the attack was made by British bombing planes, and according to reports from the shore, at least one German ship was sinking in flames. It's remarkable that the British Air Force could operate so far inside the strait with German air bases in Denmark and southern Norway. But these were fiercely attacked by the British last night when recurrent raids were made on the airfields at Stavanger, Aalborg in Denmark, and Fornebu near Oslo. Little damage was done, according to the German stories. The British say there was a good deal. And as you know, the first civilian casualties were caused in England today when two people were killed and more than 150 wounded by the fall in a seaside town of a German plane which exploded as it hit. Ironically, the German pilot seems to have tried hard to miss the houses as he came down. From Rome comes the story that Mussolini and his foreign minister, Count Ciano, have assured the British chargé d'affaires and the American ambassador that Italy has no intention of going into the war at the present time. No information can be obtained about this in Washington, and whether such a declaration was made or not, Italian press attacks on the Allies continue. Yet the sailing of the Italian liner Rex from Naples for New York has raised the belief that Italy has no intention of becoming a belligerent while this valuable ship is on the high seas, and perhaps not till it has finished its return voyage. The labor holiday on May Day was celebrated all over Europe in different styles. In Germany, it was largely a victory celebration, with Deputy Leader Rudolf Hess boasting of Germany's building many more submarines. In France, Premier Reynaud said that the workers' fullest effort would be needed if the war was to be won. In Russia, various speakers said that Russia must prepare for the war in which the capitalistic warmongers want to involve her. In England, communists and other left-wingers were permitted to abuse the government as usual in Hyde Park. But in Sweden, communists had to stay at home, while conservative and agrarian leaders marched with the socialists in the May Day parade, and the socialist Premier Hansen declared that Sweden would defend its neutrality and independence by every means. In Washington, the House of Representatives Committee laid aside by a vote of 14 to 10 the Hatch Bill, which had passed the Senate, extending the restrictions on political activity by government employees. This bill, which has been laid aside, would have forbidden campaign contributions of more than $5,000.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.